Certainly appreciate Len stepping in and helping out tonight. When camps and conferences are on, we find that many who are active here are away at the conference or at the camp, but there are always those who are ready to fill in. And that has been the case in connection with the bereavement in the Coble family. Though many of those who would have helped have been absent, but there have been those who have very helpfully stepped in and furnished all that has been needed in connection with this present situation. And I'm sure the Lord appreciates that, everything that has been done and will be done at this time. And we do appreciate the fact that there are so many who are ready and willing to help carry the load, the responsibility in connection with the assembly here. Now, many of you were able to get by the funeral home tonight before service. Others of you would like to get by after the service. And so I shall be through at 8:15. If I'm not through, I'll stop. So we will stop at 8:15. That will give you time to get over there for a brief visit with the family if you so desire. They were to be there from 7 to 9. They told me they would not be leaving exactly at 9 o'clock. They'd be there a little while after, but I think that that will give you time to get there and to express your sympathy to them. Now we'll turn to Psalm 66, please. A few verses in this psalm have been very precious to me for the last several weeks. I've been extracting some spiritual honey from them that I'd like to pass on to you for your pleasure and profit. If we were to give this little study tonight a title, I think it'd be something like this: Lessons That We Should Learn in Times of Trouble. Lessons We Should Learn in Times of Trouble. Now we'll read from verse 8 of Psalm 66. O our God, ye people, and make the voice of his praise to be heard, which holdeth our soul in light, and suffereth not our feet to be moved. For thou, O God, hast proved us, thou hast tried us, as silver is tried. Thou broughtest us into the net. Thou laidest affliction upon our loins. Thou hast caused men to ride over our heads. We went through fire and through water, but thou broughtest us out into a wealthy place. I will go into thy house with burnt offerings. I will pay thee my vows which my lips have uttered, and my mouth has spoken when I was in trouble. I will offer unto thee burnt sacrifices of fatlings, with the incense of rams. I will offer bullocks with goats, Selah. Come and hear, all ye that fear God, and I will declare what he hath done for my soul. I cried unto him with my mouth, and he was extolled with my tongue. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. But verily God hath heard me. He hath attended to the voice of my prayer. Blessed be God, which hath not turned away my prayer, nor his mercy from me. Now, we do not get over the entire portion that we have read together. Let me just give you the bones of it. Then we'll try to put a little meat on these bones. I've been thinking of the words of the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 3, there he gives us the threefold character and effect of preaching and teaching. He says it's to edification, or comfort. Now, edification reaches the spirit to build it up. in the things of God. Exhortation reaches the conscience to stir it up that there might be activity for God. And comfort reaches the heart to bind it up in times of trouble and sorrow and difficulty and trial. And so we need the threefold ministry. That which builds us up in the things of God. That which stirs us up. That we might be active and energetic in our testimony for the Lord. And that which binds us up in times when trials and testings and trouble might get us down. Too often we are prone to ask when we get into trouble, how can I get out of this? That's quite natural. But we'd be much better, I think, if we were to ask, what can I get out of this? Because God has some purpose in all testing and trial, in all trouble and temptation. God has some purpose in it for us. See, and in his unique way, once said, when I get in the cellar of affliction, I look around for some of the Lord's wine. And how true that is, because the Lord has his wine of encouragement and comfort when we get into times of testing and trial. Right to the Corinthians, Paul said in his second letter, very near the opening of that letter, speaking of the God of all comfort, he said of him who comforted us in all of our tribulation, wherewith we are troubled, that we might be able to comfort them that are in any trouble with the comfort for which we have been comforted of God. In other words, when you and I come into testing and trial, and we all do, and I believe that that is why we need at this time a ministry on the comfort line to bind up the hearts of God's people, that when we are comforted of God, it has been well said, it's not to make us comfortable, it's to make us comforters. Because as we pass through these testings and trials, we learn lessons that we can pass on to others that can be a great blessing to them. And so looking over these verses and meditating on them now for some time, I have been impressed with the troubles of the psalmist. Then the training of the psalmist. That which he learned from these troubles that he was passing through. And then this portion ends, as I see it, with the testimony of the psalmist. I want to look a little at that. Look just a little at his troubles and see if we can relate to them. We read in verse 11, of being brought into the net. In the same verse we read, of affliction being laid upon us. The next verse we read of men riding over our heads. I think we can all relate to that. Have you ever felt that you were sort of caught in a net of circumstances, adverse circumstances, that you just couldn't seem to untangle? You thought out of them, and you found you're caught in another way. And like a fish in a net, or like a bird in a net, you struggled and you just could not seem to get out of that situation that you were in. But not only that, not only did you find yourself entrapped in a net, but you found a load of affliction upon you. A load that seemed to grow larger and heavier all the time. And not only that, you found that there were those who were, as it were, riding over your heads, taking advantage of you, pressing you down, humiliating you. Well, that's exactly what the psalmist was passing through here. And how did he react? And how do we react? When you and I find ourselves entangled in circumstances that we can't get out of, under a load that we can't lift, and with others taking advantage of us in such a way that it's very, very degrading and humiliating. Now, how do we react? Do we resent it? Do we rebel against it? Or do we realize, now here is an opportunity for me to learn some valuable lessons? We can, on the one hand, just throw up our hands and defeat and give in, say, I can't handle it at all. It just got the better of me, and just succumb to defeat. Or we can say, now, there's something for me to learn in these circumstances. Something that'll be to the glory of God for my personal profit and through me a blessing to others. Well, let's look at some of the lessons that the psalmist learned. The first thing I notice in verse 9, he learned God's safekeeping power. Before he mentions his troubles, in verse 11 and 12, notice what he says in verse 9, which holdeth our soul in life, and suffereth not our feet to be moved. Here the psalmist learning again, for he must have known it before, but he's learning again, and maybe in a greater way, the safekeeping power of God, that his soul is being held in life, and his feet are kept from being moved. There's always the danger when you and I get into adverse circumstances of getting into the valley of doubt and wondering, first of all, about our eternal security, and then wondering about other things that relate to our walk, which would be suggested by the feet here. But the psalmist here is learning again that whatever troubles, whatever trials he may go through, he's going to be kept safe by the mighty power of God. Now, that's good for us to remember at all times. Our souls are in his hand, and our feet are kept by him, kept so that they will not move from that place of safety on the rock of ages, and kept from being moved away from that path of obedience that God has called us to. For us learn from experience and from observation that when we get into something of the trouble that the psalmist was in, there's always a danger of forsaking the path of obedience. We might not put into words, but in our heart we are saying, it's costing me too much to obey God. Now God will keep our feet from being moved if we'll just rely upon him. But then as we move on, he learned another lesson. He learned all the safekeeping power of God. He learned the salutary purpose of God. You notice what he says in verse 10. For thou, O God, hast proved us. Now, you never know how strong a thing is until it's been proved. And God wants to prove you and me. Are we just fair weather Christians? Are we going to go on in our Christian life when the sun is shining, everything is favorable, all to be on our side? Is that the kind of a Christian we want to be? I don't think we do. Up in Canada, in that part where I was born and reared, they used to talk about Salvation Army Christians. You know what they were? They were that little group that got out on Saturday night and Sunday night on the street corner when it was 4 and 5 and 6 degrees below zero. And they got out there with their big drum, and they got out there with their musical instruments, and they had gloves on their hands, and their collars were turned up of their big overcoats and top coats that they had on, and they drummed, and they blew, and they sang at 5 below zero. Many a time on our way to a Sunday night gospel meeting, we used to pass by that faithful little group. And so it became a saying there of Salvation Army Christians. Those didn't go out when the sun was shining, and it was nice and bright and balmy. But those who went out when it was cold and snow and raining, and who stood there to bear a testimony for God. That's what the psalmist said. Thou, God, hast proved us. What do we do under trial, brothers and sisters? Do we wilt? Do we turn away from the things that we profess to believe? Do we give up our principles? Well, that is what God wants us to do. He wants to prove us that there might be a testimony for God, that God's grace can enable us to stand and to keep going forward even when circumstances are adverse. Then he says, in connection with a purpose, thou hast tried us as silver is tried. Now why is silver tried? Silver put into the fire, not to destroy it, not to get rid of it, but to refine it, to purify it, to get rid of the dross. Why does God permit you and me to get into fires of trouble and trial? That we might be purified. Every one of us has dross in us. We have that which is not the genuine article. And God puts us into the fire that dross might be removed from us. And our self-confidence and our self-conceit might be removed. And we might shine brighter for His glory. That was God's salutary purpose for them. And he learned that. But he learned something else. He learned of God's sovereign permission. You'll notice the expression, verse 11. Thou puttest us into the net. Thou affliction upon our loins. Thou cause men to ride over our heads. That's what I've been impressed with of late as I meditate on this. Now, God didn't come down from heaven and spread that net. Some men did. God didn't come personally and afflict the psalmist. Somebody else did. God ride over the head of the psalmist. Some men did. But the psalmist learned to look beyond the instrument to the permissive will of a sovereign God. I say to you, my brothers and sisters, that is one of the great lessons to be learned in the Christian life. There's a line that goes, not a single shaft can hit till the God of love sees fit. And it doesn't matter what shaft men may aim at us. It has to come through the permissive will of God. There's no one can do anything to me as a child of God until God permits them. Somewhere there's a poem. I haven't been able to recall enough of it to get the first line. But the words that have been coming to me constantly for over a week now have been, there be no second causes. All come from thy dear hand. Now that's a tremendous lesson to learn. So often we look at the second cause. We look at the men that are riding over our heads. We look at those that are spreading the net for our feet. The psalmist learned to look beyond it all. Thou. Thou hast permitted it. Brothers and sisters, our God is sovereign. And it's only what he permits that reaches you and me. So he learned that. We could go on that line considerably because there's so much of that in Scripture. You remember Joseph? The one who was so ill-treated by his brethren? When you come toward the end of the story in Genesis chapter 50, he's saying this, ye meant it unto evil, but God meant it unto good. And you know, brethren and sisters, those who are against us and the things of God, they may start some evil against us. By the time it reaches us, it's going to be good because of God's overruling hand. How comforting it is for us to remember that. But let me say this. He learned one other lesson, and that was God's satisfying provision. Look at what he says in the end of verse 12. But after the net, after the load, after the overriding, but thou broughtest us up. Yes. No matter how deep the valley is, my brethren, God will bring us out of it. No matter how cold the waters are, God will bring us out of them. No matter how fiery the furnace may be, God will bring us out of it. And he brought us out, says the psalmist, into a wealthy place. So far as I know, the only other time that the Spirit of God used that word that is here translated wealthy in our Old Testament, that Hebrew word, so far as I know, the only other occurrence is in that familiar verse of Psalm 23 and verse 5. My cup runneth over. Isn't that nice? Yes. The net is spread. We're all entangled. The load grows heavier. Men ride over us. And God brings us out. Not merely delivering us, but bringing us into a place where his blessings are just running over. And we can say with David, my cup runneth over. For you and I can be sure that God always levels the scales. If it's heavy with sorrow, it's going to become heavy with blessing. How good to be brought out into that wealthy place where the blessings of God are running over. Just in closing, you'll notice the remainder of the psalm is taken up with a testimony of the psalmist. What's he testifying to? He's testifying to a prayer-hearing God. As I read these verses, it comes through to me that this time of testing and trial was a time of real soul searching. And I think that's true to experience. When we get into testing and trial, it's a good thing for us to search our souls. And I think if you read these verses, you'll find that as he searched his soul in the midst of this trying time, he was made to realize that he had failed in connection with the things of God. And he made God certain promises. And now that he's been brought out, he says, I'm going to keep my promises. I'm going to pay my vows that I made when I was in trouble. We're so liable to say, Lord, if you just get me out of this trouble, I'll do this and do that and do the next thing. And the sooner we get out, then we'll forget all about it. Not so with David. He learned another thing. As he prayed and prayed and prayed during this time of trial, he learned that great lesson of verse 18. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. For I think as you and I allow the Spirit of God to search our hearts, we'll all realize we have failed in doing that which is the will of God. And we have allowed in our hearts things that were not right. And these are hindering our prayer. But he puts things right. He said, Lord, when I get out of this, I'll pay my vows. When I get out of this, I'm going to see that my heart is right. And so he's able to say, God hath heard me. He hath attended the voice of my prayer. Blessed be God, which hath not turned away my prayer, nor his mercy from me. I trust this will be a help to us. Each one of us passes through those testings and trials which God sees best for us. May this help us during such times. Shall we pray? Our Heavenly Father, we thank thee for the privilege of being together tonight, and we ask thy gracious blessing upon all those who are here, and the families represented by them, and the problems, Lord, connected with them. The heart knoweth its own bitterness, and we pray that thou wilt graciously bless thy word to every tried and tested heart. We pray for our beloved friends, the Cobles, at this time of bereavement, sorrow. We thank thee, Father, for saving our dear sister some years ago. Thank thee for her testimony, that of her husband and family. And we commend them now to thee at this time, in our Savior's precious name.